Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined this week by technical editor Kira Pace and Professor Lori Fisher. Here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're encouraging that in every way possible. We hope you will give us a call. We have two different phone numbers here, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, there actually is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever Kira found in her trip to Los Angeles this week. So we'll be covered with smog, no doubt. Yes. Just to remind you of our email address, it is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one, so that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We don't read the emails during the show generally, but they all get read, so feel free if you have a comment or a question, just let us know. If you'd like to hear the show online, it should be on live stream right now at kalw.org. So just go to the website. Again, that is kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast of the show, it should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org, and later on iTunes and a lot of different places. So all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Can everybody hear me okay?
I can.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Studio audience can.
Yeah. All right, good. All right. So as I said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace, sanitized for your protection.
Paper, seal, and everything.
Except for the garlic.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You can tell, too.
Oh. Yeah. Once again, longevity, commitment, and enthusiasm has not paid off. And Lori Fisher was not selected to compete either in the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game, or the Hot Dog Eating Competition. In protest, he only watched half of each event.
And that's true. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks you'd look better in a sweater washed in woolite.
That's right.
So how long is that half a hot dog eating event? Is that 40? Is that 40 hot dogs? Roundabout?
Roundabout.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the winner had 78 this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't even watch that many.
It was a lot. Joey Chestnut again, but I didn't see what
Joey
the...
It's always Joey Chestnut.
Yeah,
they should retire him.
78 hot dogs.
And he's a small guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shockingly, yeah. We have a lot of sanitized introductions tonight. I don't know what's going on there.
Yes.
I should know something.
All right. All that being said, we will start. Oh, by the way, give us a call as soon as you can. That's generally the best way to get on air. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call us, we will get you on as soon as possible. So, again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right, Kira, your turn.
All right. What is the only Billboard Hot 100 number one song to have been co-written by a vice president? Again, what is the only Billboard Hot 100 number one song to have been co-written by a vice president?
Of the United States, right?
Yeah.
Argentina.
Vice president of my house.
The song is It's All in the Game.
It is.
Written by Charles Gates Dawes, who was the Coolidge's vice president.
Okay.
Nice. Oh. What year was that?
24, 20, or was it? I'm not sure the year that he wrote it. So
the Billboard?
He just wrote the tune.
And right.
I don't know.
And then it was repurposed.
Yeah.
It had to be, because the Billboard
Yeah,
100
the Hot 100
is not before 1940, something like
that. Yeah, the Hot 100 started in August 1958. And, I think it was 58. Anyway,
but the tune was long before this.
In the 50s
the number
had
one,
a hit.
The number one was end of September 1958, and that was, do you know who?
Boy, I can hear
I'm sorry?
It.
Do you know who had the number one hit with Charles Dawes?
Tears has
to
fall.
I can hear it. It's
not Sam
Cooke. It's an individual.
It is an individual.
Male singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both correct.
But we can leave it out. We should leave it out.
All right. See.
Boy, and I can hear it. Okay. That's a good one.
Okay.
Okay.
And Lori, why don't you go ahead, too?
Okay. So these were submitted by a regular listener, Sue Schweik.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it's a tribute to Jerry Nachman, who wrote about Moritz Saul. These are three Moritz Saul questions. Mm-hmm. So he first got attention, Moritz Saul, 1957, because he was the opening act in a Chicago nightclub for What Singer? So 1957, Moritz Saul's big break took place in Chicago, opening for What Singer?
Mm-hmm.
We'll pause on that one. The second one, the next year, so it would have been 1958, Saul actually appeared on Broadway in a review of a show called The Last President, and a woman was cast in on stage with him as the folk singer. That woman became kind of famous on her own. Who was that? She appeared with Saul.
What year was that?
That was 58. And then the year after that, in 59, he was hired to be a ghostwriter, a joke ghostwriter for a non-show business person. Who was that? So who did he open for in a nightclub? What singer? Who was he on stage with? Who was called the folk singer who became famous? And he was a joke ghostwriter for what non-show business celebrity?
Was Joan Baez the folk singer?
No.
Was it somebody who actually became a folk singer?
Yes. Well known.
A female who's a folk singer but not...
Yeah,
the 50s. Folk singer became a folk singer.
Right.
Yeah, the singer he opened for in Chicago was not a folk singer.
What about Judy Collins?
No.
Okay.
Both good guesses.
I think Joan Armatrading was also a folk singer. Right?
I think she's
so
too young.
Okay.
Or yeah, or not old enough.
As for the non-comedian person, was it a politician?
Yes.
Was it Nixon?
It was not.
Okay.
Great
was
guess.
Was it Mary, a Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Right.
Her name? Mary?
Shelley. Steenburgen.
Mary
Scott.
Was there a last name of Peter, Paul, and Mary?
No.
Mary Travers.
Mary
correct?
Travers, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
So we're still looking for who Saul opened for in Chicago in 1957, and what non-show business politician was he hired to be a joke writer?
What about Reagan?
Not Reagan.
Early Reagan.
Not early
remember.
Or late Reagan. Okay. Reagan.
Can you tell us whether it's a Democrat or a Republican?
That would be telling. So we'll say it's way too early in the show to give you that.
All right. And
but it's 1959, so you're guessing the right era of politicians. It's not Charles Hayes or those guys.
All right. Let's go to Mr. Brevity. I think it's Ede on the line. Ede, you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's
I have
you.
Two very short questions. But before I say that, I'd like to congratulate Leah Garshick for retiring from the Chronicle after 43 years. And I hope you get her back on your show.
Oh.
That's a good vote of confidence.
Well, she deserved the confidence.
That's right. David had her on his show. So
yeah, well, ask her. Maybe she's retired. She may come back. Very, very quick. Okay, by the way, in the Bible, who was Leah in the Bible? The same as Leah's first name. Who was she? In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in Islam as well. Who is Leah?
This has come up. This came up when Leah was here.
Yeah. The wife of,
correct?
Mm-hmm. I'll let Dana finish that.
She had seven kids from that man.
Noah?
That's a biblical figure.
How about
seven
Noah?
Seven children, not Noah.
Okay.
Afterward, Abraham. And I'm sorry, Jacob.
Jacob's wife.
It was the first wife of Jacob, and had his first seven sons. And he was tricked in marrying her by his uncle. Okay, let us go to the second question. What modern country today would you find the city of Troy?
Oh, Troy's in Turkey.
Yeah.
You're very good, very good. And what was the war where you have the Trojan horse story? What was the two competing armies?
Well, the Troy and...
The Trojans, and hence the Trojan horse.
The Trojans.
What is the other army?
Well,
is it Greece?
Just, Yes.
Agree?
Yeah.
You're very good. Right. You're very good. I'd just like to make a very quick comment. You know, I approach that because remember we have a Trojan horse in the White House as we do today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Z.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was unusually brief.
That was excellent.
He said two short questions. It was two short questions.
And I really was.
Awesome. Okay,
way to go, Ede.
Yeah. Helen of, I always remember that Broadway musical. Helen of Troy, New York. That was a real show. Okay. So, as you know, this week we had the ticker tape parade for the women's soccer champions, which was great. I have a bit of a crush on Megan, but...
Join the world.
Join the world,
yeah. Really.
Okay. Probably make a better president than some people I can think of. And so I looked up the list of the ticker tape parades in New York City.
Wow.
And I have some questions about that. So, first of all, who was the first person in history to have a ticker tape parade in New York City? It was in 1899.
Whoa.
And there is a San Francisco connection to it. So you know. So who was the first person in history to have a ticker tape parade in New York City? It was in 1899, and there is a San Francisco connection to it.
And was it a New York event or a national event?
Oh, no. I'm always talking about New York.
Yeah, I know. But was the thing that caused the parade a national
yes,
thing?
Yes, it was a national event. So who was the person to have the first ticker tape parade in New York City? It was in 1899, and there is a San Francisco connection to it.
Go ahead. Sorry, is there a railroad connection maybe?
No. Okay. You mean this person being involved with railroads in some
sure.
way?
Yeah.
No, not
okay.
that.
And is what they did like, they did that like Lindbergh flying the Atlantic solo, or is it more like they're generally known?
This person was famous for a particular episode in history. And I should say there is the San Francisco connection is there is a prominent statue of this person in San Francisco. Mm.
Emperor Norton.
Not Emperor Norton. Okay. So again, who was the first person to have a ticker tape parade in New York City? It was in 1899. There's quite a prominent statue of this person in San Francisco.
All right. That's good.
And second question, what two people convicted of treason were individually honored with ticker tape parades in New York City? Not the Rosenbergs. Yeah. Let me guess that. What two people convicted of treason were individually honored with ticker tape parades in New York City?
Were they ultimately exonerated?
They were not.
Were they alive for the ticker tape parade?
Yes, they were.
Okay, it wasn't posthumous.
So far, they have not had any coffin ticker tape parade.
Did they get the ticker tape parades long after they were convicted of treason?
No, it was before they were convicted of treason.
Okay.
So again, what two people convicted of treason in their lives were individually honored with ticker tape parades in New York City?
Do we associate them together, or are they nothing to do with each other?
There is a connection between the two.
But it's not a Sacco and Vanzetti connection.
It's not Sacco and Vanzetti.
Okay, but I mean, they're separate entities.
They're separate entities, but they're connected with each other.
When they were convicted for treason, was it together or separately?
Separately.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Were they convicted of treason during World War II?
No.
Okay.
Is Eugene Debs one of them?
No.
Okay.
So just once more, who was the first person to have a ticker tape parade in New York City? It was in 1899. And as a hint, there is a statue of this person in San Francisco. And second question, what two people convicted of treason were individually honored with ticker tape parades in New York City?
These all men?
Yes, they're all men.
No surprise.
Yes. And I do have a women question dealing with the ticker tape parade later on, but for now.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Big Radul on the Carnell.
Hey, Big Radul.
So I have some television movie questions. The first one is, what is the connection between the actor Thomas Mitchell and Dwight Eisenhower?
Thomas Mitchell and Dwight Eisenhower.
Is this a biographical thing? They related?
I don't think Mitchell ever played Eisenhower, did he?
No, no. It's.
Do they fight together?
But it, no, it. I guess you could say it's biological.
Biological.
Or did somebody maybe marry into the other one's family?
No, not that.
They weren't born in. You know, Eisenhower was born in Texas, I think. I don't think. Are they related?
It's family. No, it's family related, but no, they're not related.
Okay. Did one of them marry a relative of the other?
No.
But it's family related.
So it's nothing to do with either of their careers, right? It's just the happenstance of their birth or their evolution as in married life or something like that?
Correct.
Is it company related? Like maybe members of their family owned a business together?
No.
Okay.
Was it true on the day they were both born?
Was it
true with their birth? In other words...
No.
Okay. So this happened during their lifetime. But it's family related. But it's not has nothing to do with marriage. And so if it has nothing to do with marriage, are they distant? They are not distantly related?
No, they're not.
What about did one of them maybe kill somebody in the family of the other one? Is it death related?
No.
Okay.
I like that, though.
Were they...
I like
they,
how you're thinking.
Did they serve in... Well, it says family related. I was going to say, did they serve together in World War I, by any chance, in some regiment?
They could have, but that's not the connection I have.
Is it true for many people, and they're just two of them, or are they, like, unique in their connection?
Well, I'm sure that there are other relationships like this between actors and politicians.
Actors and politicians. I think we need a hint, or I do.
And it's not that one play, or the actor played the politician, or...
Or Eisenhower played Thomas Mitchell at a movie.
Well, I know Mitchell was in Wilson, where he played an official in Wilson's administration, but I don't think that has anything to do with Eisenhower.
I'll give it to you.
All right.
Thomas Mitchell's brother, James, was Eisenhower's Secretary of Labor for eight years.
Okay. All right.
That's cool.
That's good.
Second question I have is that first person to play James Bond, and it was in Casino Royale, a TV series called Climax in 1954.
Right.
I thought that was Peter Sellers was in Casino Royale, was it not?
Well, it was. They did the first TV version in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
Was it Barry Sullivan?
I got half of it right.
Barry Nelson.
You got it.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. There you go.
And then one last one. Eula Bondi appeared as the mother of James Stewart in four movies. Can you name them?
Well,
go ahead.
It's a Wonderful Life, of course.
That's the only one that came to mind.
Of Human Hearts.
That's two.
That's 38. Is that the first one, of Human Hearts? Or is there anything before that?
Well, I'm not sure that the way I have them written here is that they're in order.
Vivacious Lady.
Okay.
That's 38, too. Let's see. That's three.
It's the fourth film.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh.
You got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
That's great. I forgot that.
There you go.
Hard to get by you.
It is.
But I did my best.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Marky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
It's All in the Game was sung by Tommy Edwards.
Tommy Edwards.
That's
good.
It. Yep.
Good.
It's All in the Game. Nice.
All right.
All right. And over this weekend, it was Friday night, the LA Angels of Anaheim had a combined no-hitter in the All-War 45 for one of their fallen pitchers who passed away a few weeks ago. So they had two people doing the no, two pitchers combining for the no-hitter. The first first combined no-hitter happened in 1917.
Whoa.
Who was the starting pitcher?
In 1917? Famous? Like Hall of Fame famous?
Yeah.
Christy Mathewson?
No.
Babe Ruth.
It was Babe Ruth.
Oh, nice. Oh, look at Mr. Sports over here.
Very good. Yeah.
Excellent.
I can't remember who they were playing, but Babe Ruth was the starting pitcher. He walked the first batter. Got angry at the umpire, and the umpire immediately heaved him from the game.
No.
Another pitcher, Ernie Shore, came in and relieved Babe Ruth and then threw out the runner at first and set down the next 26 batters.
No kidding.
So it's a sort of perfect game, and it used to be on the list, but now it's just a combined no-hitter.
And so Babe Ruth only faced one batter and got tossed out of the game. That's
absolutely
a great story. I never heard that. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. So I'm going to ask you about songwriters and lyricists. I'm going to give you some songs, and you tell me or give me the information I ask for. There are four. The first one, I am looking for the initial songwriter of the Beach Boys song Never Learn Not to Love. The initial songwriter.
I know this.
Next, I am looking for the initial, or not the initial, I'm sorry, for the songwriter for The Unicorn, which is a number 7 hit for the Irish Rovers in 1968, and Hey Loretta, a number 3 hot country hit for Loretta Lynn in 1973.
That's one question.
That's one.
The Unicorn and the Hey Loretta.
Yeah, same person. The third one I'm looking for is a team. I'm looking for a lyricist and composer for The Doors' Alabama song, Whiskey Bar. And finally, I am looking for the best-selling author who wrote the Toys R Us jingle. So I will give you each one, just one, leave the other two to the audience. So do you want to pick two of these also? I don't have to reread them?
I want the Beach Boys one.
Maybe you should go over that just once more.
Okay. The initial songwriter of what became the Beach Boys song Never Learn Not to Love.
I'm sorry, but are these different people for each one? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's one person. The second person is the person who was the songwriter for The Unicorn, which was a hit for the Irish Rovers, and Hey Loretta, which was a hit for Loretta Lynn. The third is a team, so I'm looking for the lyricist and the composer for The Doors' Alabama song Whiskey Bar. And finally, I'm looking for the best-selling author who wrote the Toys R Us jingle.
I have a question of the fourth one. When you say author, do you mean composer?
I mean an author.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think I know the Never Learn Not to Love. I believe that was Charles Manson.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about that.
Did you? He was really close friends, unfortunately, with Dennis Wilson, their drummer, and they wrote it together. And then later they tried to take his name off the song.
Right? No, it's that Charles Manson agreed. Dennis Wilson went to give him writing credit, and he wanted cash and prizes instead.
Oh.
And then, that was fine, I guess, except Dennis Wilson then changed the lyrics a little bit.
He did.
Which infuriated Manson, who came by and threatened his family.
Yeah. Manson was a
falling
erstwhile
out.
Songwriter.
Yeah. Is Neil Diamond any of the answers?
No, not Neil Diamond.
So the author. How does the Toys R Us jingle go?
That I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
And that was written by an author.
Yes.
How about Neil Sedaka?
No, not Neil Sedaka.
Are the number 2 and 3 also not known for being musicians, more being notorious? Or?
In the team where I'm looking for when I'm looking for a lyricist and a composer,
The Doors.
The composer is is known as a musician, but
the lyricist not so much.
The lyricist is known, I guess, as a lyricist, perhaps.
Okay.
But.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. There's a tiny chance I asked this a couple of years ago, but I don't think so. And if I did, we'll see if you remember the answer. Last night, Awkwafina was the guest host of Saturday Night Live, a repeat. And she mentioned that the previous Asian-American host had been 18 years before. And I looked up. There's only been four previous Asian or Asian-American hosts of Saturday Night Live. Who were they?
Well, Sandra Oh was just on this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So there's five. That's right. She was on this season.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's four more.
All right. So it can be a man or a woman.
Correct.
And
all the others were 18 years ago or more.
Right.
18 years
ago. You know what? I'm going to take that back. I'm looking at the list here. It's 18 years ago. It was a woman. The others are more modern than men.
Oh.
So four more. Forget the 18 years.
Okay. It's just 18 years ago since a woman.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute. Just to be clarified. Before Awkwafina, it had been 18 years since...
For an Asian-American woman. And she paid tribute to her last night. The three men that I'm thinking of, they were all in the 2000s sometime.
Oh, that's why Sandra Oh doesn't count. She's Canadian.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless she's dual citizen, which she might be. I don't know. Well, I don't think Margaret Cho ever hosted, and that's sort of the only obvious answer I can think of right at the second.
Are you counting the guy that did Aquaman?
No.
Jason, what's his name?
I mean, not
he's,
Jason.
He's,
yeah. He identifies as
Asian.
American
Momoa.
And Hawaiian, and so he's
He's Pacific Islander.
I
think Pacific Islander is still, it's a different.
You, okay.
But Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa, all right.
So he's not, I'll give him a bell, but he's not on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. Was Jackie Chan ever on?
Jackie Chan, he was on.
Oh,
very
good.
Very good.
All right.
So we're looking for one woman and two more men who Asian or Asian American. Jackie Chan was year 2000.
One woman.
I don't think John Cho ever did it.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
Were they all in show business?
Yes.
Oh, are we counting Indian subcontinent?
I think we are.
Oh, okay.
Who would that be?
I need to think about that.
What about Aziz Ansari?
That's another.
Nice.
Very good.
All right.
And
very
then
good.
How about, I've just lost his name.
I think that's the one.
Cal Penn?
No. That's who I was. And
Cal
Camille,
Penn? No.
Camille Nanjiani.
Yes.
Was he a host?
He was.
Right.
Camille Nanjiani.
I remember that.
So the one that's missing is the other woman.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
And is she also, well, we'll leave it all.
She's in show business.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. Thanks for the nudge.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, folks. Great show.
Thank you.
At the risk of being pedantic, it bugs me a little bit when I hear you, folks say something like, in the Trojan War, it was Troy versus the Greeks. The Trojans were certainly as Greek as their opponents. Though what they...
Fair enough.
What they live in is now Turkey, but this was thousands of years before the Turks got there. It was they were Asian Minor Greeks, but they were Greek. Now they didn't. They both spoke, the Greeks and the Trojans spoke the same language. It wasn't classical Greek, but it was, you know, Bronze Age Greek, and. The difference, I think, would be the Trojans had kind of an empire monarchy.
Greeks
had sort of city-states,
right,
that were independent from each other but formed an alliance to attack Troy. But they were all Greeks. But I understand why people say that, because you got to make some kind of distinction. I got a couple quick questions for you. At the end of World War II, most German U-boats surrendered at what port? What port did they surrender at, for the most part?
Interesting question. This is an Atlantic port.
Well.
It's a South Atlantic port. How about Buenos Aires?
No.
Or Montevideo?
No, it's a European
port.
Montevideo is not a port, is it?
No, Montevideo is on the water. It's
port. Okay, yeah.
And
isn't it on a river that connects it eventually
to the
Rio
de la Plata, yeah. But it's, you know, it connects to the ocean. Right. And okay, let me think for a minute. Well, a lot of them were stationed in Brest, France. So is it Brest?
No.
What about say Bergen or Oslo?
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we in the right part of Europe?
What
direction
vaguely,
should we go?
Vaguely. Western Europe, I guess.
Go west.
Yeah.
Huh. Was this a neutral port? Or a...
No, it was an allied port.
An allied port.
So, was it not Northern European?
Yeah, Northern European, Northwest
okay.
Europe.
So we
yeah.
haven't guessed anything in the UK, I guess.
Yeah, it's the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Scapa Flow?
What?
Scapa Flow?
No.
About Dover, big port.
No.
All right, you better tell give us the answer.
Cardiff.
Oh, a foil port in Londonderry, Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, where was the Titanic built?
Oh, was it built
I know
in
you've
Ireland?
Had this question before.
Belfast.
Yeah.
Where?
Belfast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not surprised you knew that. Okay. Great show, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. I was looking at a list of all the people that happened who have been pictured on American postage stamps.
Oh.
And it's a long list, let
it
me
is.
Tell you.
Yeah.
But there are 8 people who have been on U.S. postage stamps in the history of the United States who have gone by one name. In other words, a single word name.
Mononymic.
As in Cher.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying.
So now there's only 7, right? Since Cher is one of them?
No, Cher is not one of them. I'm not saying it couldn't happen in the future, but as of now, no. So who are the 8 people who have been on U.S. postage stamps under one name?
I think Liberace was on one.
No, Liberace was not
no?
on one.
I thought they finally
and did. I'm going to give you a hint because a couple of them are hard because they are painters. There are 3 painters on the list.
One name painters. They all Americans?
Now, a couple of these, or at least one of them, I should say, does have a last name but is better known just by a single name.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well,
again.
They all have last names probably in real life, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Lori asked if they were all American.
No, they are
okay,
not all
yeah.
American. So who are the 8 single name individuals, one word, single name individuals who have appeared on U.S. postage stamps?
Are the 5 who aren't painters entertainers?
No, none of them are.
None of them?
One of them is. I'm sorry, one.
So do they have first or last names that people would generally know, even if they don't, you know, like everyone knows Gandhi and everyone knows it's, you know, like.
I would say at least one of them does.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's a far out question. Are they all humans?
Yes, ooh. They're all humans.
Okay, because I thought yes. I thought Lassie might have been on a stamp.
Let's see. 1, 2.
Not correct.
3, 4 are either Americans or appeared at some point in American history.
Yeah.
So, and 3 are painters.
Like the only one name painters are not, they're actually not even painters. I'm thinking of like Christo and Jean-Claude. But Jean-Claude's dead, but Christo's still
older.
Alive, I think. So,
older.
Yeah.
How about Michelangelo?
Not Michelangelo,
oh,
strangely enough.
How about Pocahontas?
Yes.
Perfect.
Pocahontas is
not
one.
Me. That was from our studio audience.
Okay.
And how about another one from our studio audience? Okay. Sacagawea.
No.
Really?
Really.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. How about, say, Geronimo?
Yes.
Oh,
Geronimo
nice.
Is one. Very good. Okay, so there have been 8 single name, one word name individuals who have appeared on U.S. postage stamps. 3 of them are painters, but most of them have some connection to not the painters, but the non painters have some connection to American history. So again, who are the eight single-name individuals who have appeared on U.S. postage stamps? So far we have Geronimo and Pocahontas.
What about Basquiat?
No.
Okay.
There is another Native American on the list, so you know. And Sitting Bull would not qualify because that's two.
Two words.
Yeah. And Sitting Bull has been on a stamp.
Are any others women?
Yes. Yes.
One. This painter's one seems like it should be so obvious.
It should be.
It's killing me.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. They aren't necessarily American painters.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we guess. So not Michelangelo. Who are the other one painters?
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
Are any of your postage stamp people fictitious?
No, none of them.
Good question.
For painters, how about El Greco?
No.
Oh.
Two words.
That's two words.
Well.
The Greco. The Greek.
All right.
Just Greco. Jose Greco. Oh, that's two words.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
It's another James Bond question.
Okay.
What do these three people have in common? Robert Mueller, John Kerry, and James Bond. Something in their CV.
Something in their what?
Their CVs.
Curriculum vitae.
Their resumes.
Oh, okay.
Mueller, well, Carey, and James Bond, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, Mueller was the head of the FBI.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
Carey wasn't.
And that's, but MI5 is the James Bond one.
We're not talking about any fictional characters here.
Oh, do you mean, are they birders?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Oh. When you say James Bond is not a fictional character, does this mean James Bond, the author of the Caribbean Bird book?
You're an ornithologist, yes.
Okay.
All right. So now you should know.
But that is not it.
But it's not that they're ornithologists. Were they all born in the Caribbean, perhaps?
Not that I know. Okay. I don't think so.
I have no idea.
Can you give us a hint of some kind?
It's had to do with their education.
Oh. Well. They didn't all go to the same school.
They did.
They did.
Did they go to Yale?
The same New England prep school.
Oh.
Bond went to New England prep school?
I didn't know. Well, he didn't graduate, but his mother died while he was a teenager, and his father took him to England.
Was it Phillips?
Excuse me?
Was it Phillips Academy?
No, St. Paul's in Concord, New Hampshire.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I don't know if I should give a bell to anybody for that or not, but I will. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Okay, I think, is the answer to some or all of your questions, Sheb Woolley?
Always.
None of them.
Okay. How about the ticker tape parade? Wasn't it George Dewey?
It was Admiral Dewey. And as you know, there's a statue of Admiral Dewey in the middle of Union Square.
Who is on the statue? Is it Dewey?
No, I think they used somebody else as a model, didn't they? Or it's Victory. It's a woman.
It's a woman.
Who's the model?
Anna Hitchcock.
The grandmother of San Francisco.
Is it the Spreckles? Anything to do with the Spreckles?
Alma Spreckles.
Yeah, Alma Spreckles.
Yeah, right.
Is that it?
Commonly known, I called her Big Alma Spreckle.
Of course you do.
She was 6 foot tall, okay? And, okay, I want three movies, okay? All opened at Sundance in either 2008 or 2018 or 2019, this year. And they're all by black producers and black writers, and they have had big fame.
Well, one is must be The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Yes, that I saw in our Cineplex in downtown Charleston, West Virginia.
No kidding.
That surprised me. Okay, two more from 2018.
So that
both filmed in Oakland.
Oakland. Okay.
Yeah, we saw one, and
okay. Well, that's good enough.
Yeah, that's it. Can't we leave it at that?
Yeah, just saw it. Okay.
Well, no, it's not.
Oakland.
It's not Fruitvale. That's too.
No,
old.
It wasn't Fruitvale
no,
Station.
Was a while ago. These were all in 2018.
Yeah.
I happened to be at Sundance.
That's not Black Panther.
And I saw them.
No. These are more independent.
Written by Boots Riley.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Fill in something like that, right? Thank you for your attention. What is it?
No.
The one about the call center.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sorry to interrupt, sorry to bother you, something like that.
Sorry to bother you.
You got it. Okay.
There you go.
And one more, filmed in Oakland, written by David Diggs, who starred in it.
Oh.
Filmed in Oakland.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All very scathing reviews of the Bay Area in its current rendition.
Easy to say from West Virginia, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a frequent visitor, though. My daughter lives in San Francisco.
Let's see. What was the name of it? Was that the one that the guy from the rock band was in?
Yes. About
the two friends, one white, one black.
Yeah.
Except I can't remember the name of it. David Diggs was one, and then what was the guy from... the one from... I can't remember his name.
You know, that's how I got through school. When a teacher asked me a question, I answered something they didn't ask.
Always.
So what is the name of the film, please?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't remember.
I'm kind of blind to spotting the right answer.
Blind, yeah. Oh,
blind spotting.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
Good
thank
again.
You for that small
hint. Bye-bye. Great show.
Thank you. We are past halfway, well past halfway through the show. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you go first.
I am looking for the songwriter for The Unicorn, which was a hit for the Irish Rovers in 1968, and Hey Loretta, which was a hot country hit for Loretta Lynn in 1973. So looking for that songwriter. I'm also looking for the songwriting team responsible for the Doors' Alabama song, Whiskey Bar. And finally, the best-selling author who wrote the Toys R Us jingle.
A best-selling author. Is this a children's book author?
Nope.
Just a regular
Although, curiously, old... somebody who is still on TV hawking stuff, albeit in prose and not jingle form.
And this is a kind of a best-selling, well-known author early in his or her career?
I don't even know that was particularly early, but yeah, I mean early-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Danielle Steele.
No.
Okay.
But you're on the right track there.
Okay.
Kind
of. Oh, Barbara Cartland then.
No.
Okay. Let's see. Saturday Night Live has had 5 Asian or Asian American hosts, and there are 6 of them. We're looking for one, the only woman out there who's not Awkwafina.
You better give the ones that you have.
Oh, we have Aziz Ansari, Camille Nanjiani, and Jackie Chan, along with Awkwafina. And then my other question, where the first one's a Mort Sahl question. He got his first national attention in 1957 in Chicago as the opening act for What Singer? We got the Mary Travers he was on Broadway with her, but after that he became a ghostwriter for a politician who was not Nixon or Reagan, which are the two guesses so far, and it was in 1959-ish.
Okay. How about...
Well known.
How about Governor Brown?
Not Edmund Governor Brown. Another good guess. Not any of the Browns.
All right. And what two people convicted of treason...
Yeah.
What two people convicted of treason were individually honored with ticker tape parades in New York City? I should say they were convicted of treason after the ticker tape parades. They're honored with that. There have been 8 one-word name individuals who have appeared on U.S. postage stamps over the years. So far, we have Geronimo and Pocahontas. I should say that there are 3 painters on that list. And a couple more Americans or somebody or people that have been involved in American history. So remember, they have one-word names, or known by one-word names, I should say. And you are up, Kira, I think.
Okay. So as you may recall, a couple months ago, billionaire investor Robert F. Smith recently paid off the student loan debt of Morehouse College's 2019 graduating class. But it was revealed earlier this year, he was revealed to have been the anonymous donor who provided funds for National Park Service's recent purchase of the birth home of what historical American? So before he was paying off everyone's tuition... end of spring, he purchased a historical house for National Park Service.
Is this a man or a woman?
I'm going to leave that for right now.
All right. Sorry. How about Harriet Tubman?
No.
Frederick Douglass.
Frederick Douglass.
No.
Okay. Are we in the right kind of thinking?
You are, but also I would...
Mary Bethune?
I'd say consider where Morehouse College is.
Oh, where is that? Georgia? Mm-hmm.
It is in Georgia.
Nat Turner?
Nope.
That's Virginia.
Oh, right.
Georgia. Okay. Should we assume that this is an African American?
I think that's probably pretty fair.
Okay. All right. Georgia.
So someone whose fame is associated with slavery, and freedom movement, Underground Railroad kind of history?
I will just say that this person is a famous historical African American.
How about George Washington Carver?
Nope.
Where's Crispus Attucks from?
Massachusetts.
And to north.
Yeah. Okay, leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, is it Rosa Parks?
No, not Rosa Parks.
Okay.
It's a good guess, though. Certainly on the right track.
Yeah, I know her house was packed up and shipped to Germany and was there for a while.
Really?
Is that true?
That is true. I remember.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, her Detroit house and something. They were trying to put it up for sale, I think. Let's see. The Mort Saul singer who opened, is it female singer?
It is.
Is it Judy Garland?
It's not Judy Garland. You're in the right era.
Okay. Is the screenwriter, was or joke writer for Kennedy, for JFK?
It was John F. Kennedy.
Oh, that makes sense.
Those were his liberal. Mort Saul's semi... Kennedy's father came to him and hired him to write jokes for his son for his campaign. Very good.
Thanks. Beats driving liquor over from Canada, I guess.
I'm not sure.
Depends on the road,
Lucy Liu. Was Lucy Liu the other SNL host?
Got it. Very good. Go. Yeah, in 2000. So it only took them 18 years to get to another woman. Very nice.
Right. Yeah. I'll get somewhat pedantic. Sacagawea was on a stamp, the same stamp series that Geronimo is in, actually, Legends of the West.
All right. I guess I missed it on the list. That's my fault.
Very good.
But I don't know any of the other names. I'll take some guesses. Erta?
No.
Not the Art Deco artist? No. Okay. Miro?
No.
I guess that's
older,
Miro.
Older.
Older?
Yes.
Michelangelo?
No. But that's
closer.
That's closer.
That's closer? Okay. Yes.
Botticelli? Botticelli one?
No.
Yeah, these people. Leonardo? Well, Leonardo's not.
Not Leonardo. No, it's not.
Go through your Ninja Turtles.
Not just
go
by
ahead.
One name, let's put it that way.
But Titian?
Who?
Titian?
Titian?
No.
Titian? No. I don't know.
So are we right to think of the Renaissance?
You are right to think of the Renaissance.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Well, I won't be able to. I'll get a little pedantic. James Bond didn't go to... He went to Eton.
Oh.
That's what
I want to say, because I know... Yeah, because it comes up in crossword puzzles a lot. Not a lot, but often enough that that's where I remember it from. And the Trojan War may not have actually even happened. There's a lot of arguments that whether it's just, you know, mythology or whether it actually even occurred.
So the Trojan War was a Trojan horse.
Yeah. okay, that's enough pedantic tree from me. The Toys R Us jingle, you said it's by a current author?
I didn't say, but I'll give you that. It is a current author, sort of.
Oh, okay.
That's current author asterisk.
Author is still alive.
Author is still alive, and there are books coming out under the author's name in the Author Factory.
Oh, is it James Patterson?
He sure is.
James Patterson?
Wow. James Patterson wrote the Toys R Us jingle.
Interesting.
There you go. There's your interesting fact for the day.
Yeah, it is a good... That's a fun fact.
That's a fun fact.
Oh, yeah. All right. I can't think of any wonderful questions, so I'll let you all go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. You have a very short question?
I do.
All right. Go ahead.
There is only one toy in the Toy Hall of Fame that is not man-made or manufactured by a factory. There's about 50 toys in the Toy Hall of Fame, but only one is not made someplace.
Wasn't like a cardboard, well, that's not right. There is a cardboard box in there, but or a stick of some kind.
That's what it is. It's a stick.
Yes.
I love that. All right. You want another quick one? Or you?
No, I have one here I want to do.
I love that the stick's in the...
I want to do this when Kira is here because it's more of a her kind of question.
We'll see.
Whose 1988, Christmas special featured Cher, Charo, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Oprah, Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello, Little Richard, Grace Jones, and Dinah Shore?
Oh.
David Bowie?
Yeah, I was about to say David Bowie because that's where he sang.
Nope.
No.
No.
That was, I guess,
and
Bing
Crosby. That was the only missing.
He said 1988?
Oh, how about...
That's right.
How about Pee Wee?
Pee-wee's correct.
Nice. Pee-wee.
And it's on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah. Who's the list again? That was a great list.
Pee-wee Herman's 1988 Christmas special featured Cher, Charo, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Oprah, Frankie Avalon, and Annette Funicello, Little Richard, Grace Jones, and Dinah Shore.
So is Charo one of the ones on the stamp?
No.
I'm looking for the one-name hero.
She's still alive, though.
Charo's still alive.
Yeah.
She's
saying,
still
so with
us. They just had an article in the New York Times about her.
Don't you have to be dead to be on a stamp?
Yes, you do.
You do?
I think you do.
I thought they changed that rule.
Yeah.
Oh.
Callers, call in. Look at your stamps.
Anyway, so we're going to take some more calls. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, great. My name's Eve. I'm from Oakland, and I have an answer for the Doors Alabama song.
Yay.
It's also the Whiskey Bar song. It's, by the way, David Bowie did a version of that song, too.
He did.
At any rate, it's Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill.
Absolutely correct.
From Mahagoni, I think, yeah.
Yep.
That's great.
Okay.
Nicely done.
That's it for me.
Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
That's a good answer.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Howie Fremont. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I just have a quick question, or a quick answer. Hey, Loretta, that wouldn't be Shel Silverstein, would it?
It would be.
Shel Silverstein?
Yeah,
really?
He wrote that. The Unicorn, cover of Rolling Stone, Boy Named Sue. He actually wrote quite a few songs that ended up on the Billboard charts. Nicely done.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I knew he did a lot of odd things, and I thought that was in the back of my head somewhere. So.
And the song, Meryl... Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
No, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Oh, I was just going to say, he also did the song that Meryl Streep sings at the end of Postcards from the Edge.
That's
Heartbreak Hotel, yeah?
That's a Shel Silverstein. That's really fun to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Interesting. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Anybody there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
I have a question. Is anybody on the stamps religious?
Yes.
Okay, then how about Jesus?
Jesus is one of them, yes.
Oh, that's a one-name thing? Come on.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay. And then,
no, it's how they're listed on the stamp. And it's less than a stamp is Jesus.
Yeah.
And then when Kira mentioned the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it made me think of, how about Raphael?
Raphael's correct.
Oh, I think there's some insider information here. Yeah. Raphael, okay. But not Michelangelo, huh?
Not Michelangelo.
Right.
Jesus.
Thank you very much.
Did you have more?
Was that it? Okay, that was it.
Well, what about Rembrandt?
Not Rembrandt.
Okay.
They are not the best-known Renaissance painters, I will tell you that. Hmm. So I've heard of them, but I've just heard of them.
Really? So they're that distant? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're naming them.
I'm sure there was a whole series of Renaissance painters.
But the historical figures are well-known, right? Or not so much them either?
Yes.
So if we're going with Jesus Christ because they listed Jesus to his friends. What about, say, like Monet or Matisse, who are not usually listed with their first names?
They're not old enough.
No.
Okay.
No.
Right? They're 200 years before that.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is James in the Mission.
Hi, James.
So would Elvis be on one of the steps?
No, because it has to be...
Because he has somebody, to be dead.
Not has to be dead and has to be known. Well, Elvis, yeah, that's right. They have to be known basically by the one name, or at least most familiar to people by a single name.
Yeah, but Elvis, come on.
Yeah, I know.
And he is.
I feel like by Jesus Christ rules, Elvis should suffice.
Oh, Elvis, of course, has been on a stamp, but
But with the Presley there, apparently.
With Presley on it. All
right. Yeah, we're getting some bending of the rules, I can see. Yeah.
Was anything else?
No, that's all right. That's all. Right. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right, we have about 5 minutes left. So if you want to give us a quick call, we have a couple of lines open. That's 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free, 866-798-8255. All right, what was your very short question?
My very short question is, Lincoln Logs, this is another Toy Hall of Fame, or in the Toy Hall of Fame, were invented by the son of someone quite famous. Who was it?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah. Oh, you knew that. His son. John Lloyd Wright. Okay. Yeah. All right. Want one more quick?
Do you know who was Frank Lloyd Wright's granddaughter?
I don't.
What Academy Award winning actress?
No.
I don't think I do.
Right. Ann Baxter.
Really? Wow. That was his granddaughter?
That was his granddaughter.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah,
I'm surprised I didn't know.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom again. I forgot, is one of the stamps Selena?
Yes. And that would be the one I thought that nobody was going to get, but you got it. So very good.
Nice.
Selena.
That floated into my head. Cool. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
See, she was known by one name.
Yeah, no, that's legit.
And next call?
I don't know her last name. Yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, is Picasso on a stamp?
No. And if, let's put it this way, if they're on a stamp, it would say Pablo Picasso.
It would have to.
Yeah.
Oh. Can I do a quick question?
Very quick.
How many gowns or dresses has Vanna White worn over the 37 years of Wheel of Fortune?
Is it more than, say, 1,400?
Yes, it is.
Is it more than 2,000?
Yes.
Is it more than 3,000?
Uh-huh.
Is it about 3,700? No.
Good guess.
I'm going with 7,500.
Okay. It's lower than that.
Okay. 6,282.
Okay, you're close. It's 6,500.
Good job. I'll be a
good job. I have to ask you that.
All right.
All different, huh?
Yeah, they're all rented, I understand.
Yeah.
It's a different one every show, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
There's that many different towns, huh? I had no
idea. They've done 7,000 shows.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. You're all unbelievable, too.
Thank you very much.
Great
Bye.
Talk.
Bye-bye. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, I forgot something very important. Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we're going to have a thunder moon, and it's also going to be partial eclipse. So everybody look at the sky this in 2 days, a Tuesday night. Really will be very beautiful phenomenon.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Okay.
Bookends.
He's a bookender, for sure.
That's a good tip.
All right, time to clean up here. Kira, what do you got?
All I have left is that billionaire investor Robert F. Smith, who paid off the student loan debt for Morehouse College's 2019 graduating class, also purchased the birth home of Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Comedian Mort Sahl got national attention in 1957 in Chicago as the opening act for Billie Holiday. Amazingly enough.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have.
The only single name people who appeared on U.S. stamps nobody got, the lone American or connected to American is Sequoia. Yeah. Sequoia, not the tree, the Cherokee linguist. And the painters are, of course, Raphael was already gotten, Perugino, Renaissance painter, and Sassoferrante. Also a Renaissance painter.
And that's all of them?
And Selena was the one you thought we wouldn't get.
Yes. And the traitor, Ticker Tape Parade, individually honored were Pierre Laval and Marshall Pétain. Both honored a year apart.
Marshall
Pétain and Pierre Laval. Pierre Laval, of course, was hung after the war, convicted of treason. Marshall Pétain was not, but he was convicted of treason. So, anyway.
And they were convicted where?
In France.
In France. Oh, that's interesting.
After the war.
That would have been a good hint.
If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Laurie Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for having him board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Dear brother.